When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Whit Sunday, the feast of Pentecost, the day that we contemplate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus Christ, who are soon to be known as Christians. The ecclesia, the gathered ones, the church. It was soon after the ascent of Jesus Christ, his ascent to the right hand of the Father, an event that Jesus predicted many times before his departure, that the Holy Spirit would come. And as was Jesus' ministry, so the coming of the Holy Spirit was filled with many signs and wonders, and in particular, those first signs, the sound of a mighty wind, and for those who received the Spirit, a visual sign, tongues of fire over their heads. And their own tongues were also affected. They spoke and witnessed in such a way that everyone who heard, regardless of what language they spoke, could hear in their own language. The significance of the Holy Spirit is not simply one of language, but this was a sign. Just as Jesus performed miracles as signs of who he was, the Holy Spirit too gave signs to indicate the significance of what was happening and the essence of who he is. For this was the reversal of the Tower of Babel, where men had tried to ascend to God or even surpass him or rival him by their own means, and whose language was confused and project confounded. Now those who had waited as they were told to received power from on high and participated in a project that could not fail. What was happening at Pentecost was the birth of the church. This was the moment in which the followers of Christ, his disciples, and those who literally on foot followed him, became the body of Christ and invited many to join them. The moment in which the spiritual brick and mortar began to be laid down upon the cornerstone, and the holy temple began to take shape, the habitation of God, as St. Paul would say in Ephesians, into which you and I are still being built. Jesus Christ came in the flesh, one person, one individual, one local presence, always in one location at a time. But now the Holy Spirit, breath, wind, in Hebrew, ruach, in Greek, pneuma, even ghost at times. This Holy Spirit comes and fills the followers of Christ with the presence of Christ in themselves. And yes, to have the Holy Spirit dwell in you is to have Christ dwell in you. Now, Christians could and would be his witnesses, his martyrs, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, bringing Christ to everyone, not only in preaching or teaching, but in their very presence and in their being, for Christ was in them. Yet the Holy Spirit is, by his very nature, difficult to understand, and Jesus all but promised us that this would be the case when he spoke to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" That is the question remaining today. How can these things be? When we brag about Greenville or the history of the upstate to newcomers, as we should, can't help but mention the history of the textile industry here. And now these great hulking factories are being turned into expensive loft apartments. And whereas once they were an eyesore, now you pay dearly to live inside of an old factory. But nevertheless, as you consider explaining the Holy Spirit or thinking about how the Holy Spirit works, Something of that textile manufacturing industry comes to mind in me. If you've ever seen how textiles are made in these big factories, and I oftentimes think of ropes. If you've ever been on a ship where you've seen these ropes that are 5 inches thick or 10 inches thick and wonder about the factory that produced that thing. If you've ever been near those places, you'll know that there are rooms filled with spools, spool upon spool upon spool, dozens and dozens, up to hundreds of spools of thread or material or yarn or whatever it is that they're being made from. They're all leading into a machine that is immeasurably complex, that if you had an afternoon to put it together, there would be no hope for you. But to see the machine run is to see each of these spools spinning and each of the cords going into a project that a master has designed. Each one, not really quite sure how this is all going to tie together in the end, but in the end, not one spool could be held responsible for the final product, but the master who had organized the project, who had masterminded what was being put together, could be the only one given thanks, a woven cord even. When we think about that fabric and the process, how it begins in a room filled with spools and hundreds and even thousands contributing to that single project, that master plan that draws all those threads together through a single machine before that final product begins to take shape, what we may think of is the Holy Spirit. And we ask ourselves, when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, and when we look at our own lives and circumstances and say, how can these things be? We may think of the truths of the Holy Spirit being revealed in Scripture, originating from hundreds of sources, almost too many to count, from the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of a formless void, to the Spirit of God anointing the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the still small voice speaking to Samuel, anointing the kings of Israel and God's people, to the inspiration of the prophets calling the people back to faithfulness, saying, thus saith the Lord in the Spirit, to the promise of God through Joel that we've heard today, that one day the Spirit of God would be poured out on everyone. Eventually Jeremiah, who saw that God's people would know him because he would make his home within them. The Holy Spirit is present throughout the Old Testament until by the Holy Spirit the Virgin Mary conceived and gave birth to the Son of God, who would one day be baptized in the River Jordan and receive in dramatic fashion the Holy Spirit for the beginning of an earthly ministry. And now his Holy Spirit poured out on all who are in Christ. The divinity and mystery of the Holy Spirit cannot fully be comprehended, but his work weaves together through history and various strands of the powerful work of God and you into the tapestry of the church. And just as Jesus was conceived and born in local presence and body, now the Holy Spirit, like that fabric, that textile, that rope taking shape from dozens and hundreds of various sources, may be seen in the church like a strong material that cannot be broken. Your life in Christ and Christ in you is a strand in that tapestry. You may not see how it all fits together while you're being suspended in thin air heading towards God's plan. But there is a master plan, for there is a master at work. In the 4th century in 325 in Nicaea, at the First Ecumenical Council, a creed was developed, and the end of it sounded like this. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Period. The end. 325. It was not because the early church did not believe in the Holy Spirit that so little was said, but that there had not yet arisen a need to say more. It was the Second Ecumenical Council when a clarification had to be made about the mysterious person of the Holy Spirit. For between those two councils, a heresy had arisen that stated the Holy Spirit was not fully God. The church responded by affirming this about her inspirer. And we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, that proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. We've already gotten through spake by the prophets today. But if you hear nothing else about the Holy Spirit, hear this. What you profess every week in the Nicene Creed is your belief that the Holy Spirit, who spake by the prophets, who is worshipped and glorified with the Father and the Son together, is for you the Lord and giver of life. And altogether with Nicodemus, we may say, how can these things be? We do understand that life for us is in Christ. Without Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, as St. Paul says. But the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life because the work that was begun in you at your baptism was a work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life, but you've been brought into him. Your life is incorporated into Christ's, and you are maintained and nourished as a member of his body by the work of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. You can read the word which the Holy Spirit inspired and be nourished. You can make your home in the church. You can make use of the sacraments which he inspires. Make time for the Holy Spirit in your prayer. And when you do, listen for his prompting, the Lord and giver of life. For if we are a church, then hear me clearly, we are a Pentecostal church. Now, I know Pentecostal church has come to mean something else, but if you're not a Pentecostal church, if you're not a Pentecostal, then you've got trouble. Indeed, it is no coincidence that just after we profess our faith in the Holy Spirit, who with the Father and the Son together is glorified, we then say, and I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The church is the body of Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, which began at Pentecost. Think back to that textile mill in a room filled with spools of thread, all connected, but nearly impossible to see how they work together until the final product emerges. When we see the Holy Spirit in the church, it's difficult to understand. He manifests in different people in different ways. There were controversies and conflicts about this in the first churches. If you want to understand it, read St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians about the struggles of learning to use gifts in a church and to not feel yourself superior to the others and the others inferior to you, or your gift to be the only one necessary and the others not necessary at all. You can imagine what kind of tapestry one thread would create. Pretty weak. When God accomplishes something in the church through the Holy Spirit, we may often say that it was as incomprehensible as the wind. We can say that God's providence was at work, and no one could have planned alone what the Holy Spirit worked out. As each strand is added, it's impossible to see what's being done as it happens. But that one will be wound together with three others, and each of them in orbit around another group, working in much the same way, and unbeknownst to each, we all weave together to produce in the end the reality of a great work of God. You may sense the Holy Spirit passing by one day, literally, even in a physical sensation. At other times, it may take years for you to be able to stand back and look at the church and even your individual life and recognize that the Holy Spirit has been at work the whole time. And yet at other times, you may not sense or hear or perceive or recognize anything. Yet we, by the grace of God and confession of faith, believe. And on days like Pentecost and Whit Sunday, we stand here to urge you not to neglect this life in you and to do your part to make your strand as strong and right and true and pure and devoted and involved as you can, and by his guidance and power, the best you know. As we affirm our belief and ask God to nourish our faith and fill us yet again with his Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, and ask that in the midst of a very troubling world, that the final product, that cord, that tapestry of providence into which we are being woven would bear the trademarks of the Holy Spirit recognizable in us even today, that of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.